Career's Corner on Kaya Biz.
To help us out with this conversation, we join now on the line by Session Naidu, who is an associate at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, also known as CDH, a local law firm that's based in South Africa. Well, Session, always a pleasure to have you and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Fabuleto, and thanks for having me on your show. Hello to you and your listeners.
Always exciting to have you with us, especially when it comes to talking about money and understanding how money is intertwined with the law. And maybe let's start there, just in terms of what the labor law regulations do say, especially when it comes to customer or rather employee remuneration and rewards, because this might vary and is quite vast in terms of the industries we're in, the sectors we operate under, and of course, company policy.
Yes, definitely. So when looking at the remuneration of employees, one must bear in mind that the minister from time to time, it seems now that it's set on a yearly basis, sets a earning threshold. Currently, the earning threshold sits at around about 254,371.67 rand. Mm-hmm. And that equates to roughly 21,198 rand per month. Right. So what this earning threshold means is that in terms of the regulation, if one is earning above the earnings threshold per annum, they would be excluded from certain provisions under our employment laws. And these certain provisions, particularly the provisions under the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, they provide certain protections to employees that are considered vulnerable due to their lower per annum earnings, right? And as we've said, the per annum earning threshold set is around about 254,000 rand.
Got you. And maybe let's also unpack this, right? This might be specific to what certain sectors of the economy. Is it for public sector employees only? And as you say, this is almost a sense of protection or guidance to exclude them from I guess, conditions and provisions that essentially need to be regulated, right?
Yes, no, that's quite correct, Google. So when we look at the, we can actually dive into the protections that are afforded, particularly those, I think the most important for your listeners are those that are listed in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, right? And what you find is that certain provisions that relate to overtime, average working hours, meal intervals, daily and weekly rest periods, Sunday work, compressed work weeks, night work, public holiday pay, those provisions will only apply to those employees who are earning below the threshold. So what this means ultimately is that unless your contract stipulates that you are entitled to overtime, ordinarily you would only be entitled to overtime pay that would be paid at 1.5 times your remuneration per day if you are earning below the earnings threshold. And to your question about whether this applies to public or private sector employees, this would apply to both.
And I think this is important because typically maybe those within the private sector might not be very familiar with some of these conditions and might be fighting to essentially earn a higher income. And as you state, there are provisions that are regulated in terms of ordinary working hours, overtime, the meal intervals. And typically what we do as employees is always try not only for personal growth within the organization, professional development, but also an augmenting our income. And I understand that this does come at a risk of losing out, quote unquote, on these particular benefits that are regulated. Share some context there.
Yeah, certainly. I think one might feel that if they are earning above the earnings threshold, they'd be losing out on things such as overtime, average work hours, and certain other protections in terms of our employment laws. But Guguleto, we must remember that the minister sets these. It seems at the present moment that the Minister of Employment and Labour sets these thresholds almost yearly. So one might say that there might be an employer who seeks to take advantage of this and pay his employees, his or her employees, just above the earnings threshold. Unfortunately, if you want to play that game, then you must be prepared for the next earnings threshold increase, which might just come next year as well. And when we look at the increase in the earnings threshold, it's roughly about 13,000 rand that the earnings threshold has increased. So the minister has sort of kept up with the current dynamics of the economic climate.
Which is important, especially given that we have seen inflation at some points outpacing the salary increases that South Africans have had. And I'm made to understand that the CCMA has also faced a number of disputes with regard to monetary claims, unfair discrimination disputes, and I guess creating an unfavorable environment naturally for the employees themselves who are meant to benefit from these salaries, but at the same time, further frustrations for employers. Help us contextualize some of the examples you can share.
Right. So I think it's good to start with a bit of the dispute resolution aspects of the earnings threshold and what that does for your rights as an employee in referring disputes which you may have against your employer. Right. So, of course, being recognized as a vulnerable employee, what the legislation seeks to do is to give you further avenues in which to resolve your disputes with your employee, with your employer, right? And what that means is that as an employee earning below the earnings threshold, you may have access to the CCMA to resolve these disputes rather than through the labor courts. Now, we know that the CCMA is this alternative dispute resolution forum. It's there to make dispute resolution a little bit less formalistic. Right, so you're not incurring the expenses of lawyers' fees and all of that. Not that my advice is not to get a lawyer, but I would say that when attempting to access justice, as it were, right, you'd find that a lot of vulnerable employees do not have the necessary finances to approach the labor court. Of course, the labor court, there are fewer labor courts than there are CCMA offices, right? And because the CCMA process is this rather inexpensive option for employees to resolve disputes, these employees who are earning below the threshold can refer disputes such as unfair discrimination disputes, claims for the failure to pay any amounts in terms of contracts and so on. But they're also further protected by terms, by provisions that are contained in the Labor Relations Act. And another example of this is your fixed-term employees and your part-time and what we call TES, your temporary employment services employees as well. So there are certain deeming provisions contained in the legislation which say that when an employee works for a period of about 3 months and they earn below the threshold, if they are TES employees or they are fixed-term employees, they will be deemed to be that employer's permanent employees. So they're granted that added bit of protection as well.
That's between 3 and 6 months. That's quite substantial.
Yes, that is. Well, actually, it's just 3 months, right?
Oh, and just
it's,
three.
It is just a deeming provision. And ultimately what that means is it places that burden or that onus now on the employer to show if, for example, he or she has employed a fixed-term employee, it places that onus on the employer to now show that the reason for this fixed-term employment is a valid reason. Because what you'd often find is that many unscrupulous employers would employ on fixed-term contracts and renew just month after month after month.
Yes.
So it gives those employees who are particularly vulnerable, as determined by the earnings threshold, that added bit of protection to be deemed permanent employees.
And I'm glad that you highlight that, because typically this is where we as employees might get confused that, hold on, you're on a rolling fixed-term contract. Does the law stipulate how long that should last for and how to actually access and tap into some of these the benefits according to the Basic Employment Act that we've got there?
Right, so that's ultimately the protection that you have, and the law does intervene when it comes to these fixed-term contracts. In the ordinary course, what would ordinarily happen is we'd rely on a reasonable expectation of a further employment, but you find that these particular types of employees don't necessarily have to rely on a reasonable expectation being created, they automatically have that deeming provision there to protect them.
100%. I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's also talk, Session, about employees who earn above the threshold but yet are still expected to work overtime on weekends, perhaps even, you know, night work, public holidays. Do they have any sense of a claim in terms of support and entitlement, legal entitlement to overtime pay? And I guess we also need to contextualize this given the sector of work, the field of work, and what might be drafted within their own employment contract.
Yes, certainly. So, and I'm glad you brought up the employment contract. So unless it's specified in some employment contract or a sectoral determination, these are also determinations that are set by the minister or a collective agreement. And those would be the agreements that are concluded between unions and employers. Unless it is stipulated in those specific agreements or determinations that you would be entitled to some kind of overtime. Let's, for example, say overtime pay as one of the benefits. Unless it is stipulated in those documents, those instruments, I would call them, you would ordinarily not be entitled. So you are specifically excluded from these types of provisions if you are earning above the earnings threshold. But I'd again stress that the earnings threshold increases almost routinely these days. So an employer will not simply get away with paying an employee the bare minimum, thinking that he or she can flout the provisions under the Basic Conditions of Employment Act.
100%. What about employees who might be earning above the threshold? Do they have an opportunity to dispute the outcomes of the employer and able to access the CCMA? Are there aspects there that they can consider?
So, ordinarily, yes. When it comes to certain types of disputes, the CCMA is open to any employee, provided they obviously do not fall under a particular bargaining council. So things like your unfair labor practice disputes, things like your unfair dismissal disputes, those would ordinarily fall to the CCMA to determine whether you are above or below the threshold. But when it comes to certain disputes, like claims for failure to pay your employee any amount, if you are earning above the threshold, you will not be automatically entitled to approach the CCMA, but there is recourse available to you in our labor courts and our civil courts. And this would also include, funny enough, our small claims court as well.
Okay. I find this so important, Session, because it really does help to educate us, not only as employees, but also those who might work within the labor space or even be employers to individuals in future. It might sound technical, but I think we probably just need to understand the steps one more time for any South African working in the public or the private sector who happens to be earning under the new earnings threshold, which is now 241,110 Rand a year. Just over 20,000 Rand a month. The key rights and considerations that they need to be mindful of is that under the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, they do have rights in terms of compressed working hours, rest periods, Sunday pay and working overtime. And should they feel or not have some of these guarantees, number one, the starting point for them to look at is the employment contract. And then from there, I guess having a conversation with their HR manager or even a legal representative like yourself, just to get clarity in terms of their rights, roles and responsibilities. Would that be a fair place to start?
I think that's a fair place to start, Kukuletu. And I also think that what employees should be mindful of is when they're negotiating their contracts and they see that they're earning above the earnings threshold, if there is the inclination to include overtime and all of these other protections that the Basic Conditions of Employment Act affords, it would be prudent to include those in your employment contract so you ensure that you are protected in terms of your contract.
100%. It always goes back to the employment contract and what was initially agreed upon there. Session?
Yes.
100%. We'll leave it there for this evening, but truly appreciate your time. as well as the clarity and perspective that you've provided us with, and educating us as South Africans that we might be pushing for salary increases, but we do need to be mindful that there are conditions that at least still meet the basic conditions of employment act in South Africa, and those do need to be stipulated within our employment contracts. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Gugulethu.
Thank you. That's Sasha Naidoo, associate at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, a law firm known as CDH, giving us some insight into some of the practicalities, the rights and the conditions that we need to be mindful of following the Government Gazette having changed the arrangement when it comes to understanding the basics in terms of rights and responsibilities between an employer and employee, especially when it comes to the new earnings threshold and how it might impact your rights as an employee.